Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Hey, Chris here.
Last week's episode was a...
Oh, man, I was hurting for a full day after that. Man. Six bottles is harsh. That's a first for me. And we didn't do we drink all the entire bottle of each one.
No.
We put a dent in them.
We did that Oliver. We didn't have very much left.
Oliver... And justified, it was that good.
Yeah, I think it was a solid win for us for that episode as far as like the bigger, easy to find stuff. It was a fun episode, but it was a challenging episode.
But we had to pay the piper there. There was a bill due. Oh man, guys, thank you for joining us here on the Mead House.
Yes, week after week we get to see the numbers, who's tuning in, who's doing what, and wow. I love to see those numbers climbing ever so slowly and more of you guys tuning in. It's fantastic to see. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
We really appreciate it. Absolutely. You guys are outstanding. And I'm starting to get a little bit of traction on just people recognizing me out and about.
Really?
Last weekend, I was in Topeka. Mm-hmm. And one lady comes up to you and says, "Well, you're Steve the Gnome." I said, "Yes, I'm Steve the Gnome." He goes, "But your voice sounds familiar." I said, "Context, please." Because I'm not... I do a lot, but I said, some kind of context. I think it was on a podcast. I said, "That'd be the Mead House. I talk mead." And she goes, "That was it. So I have a question for you." And I said, "What's your question? What's the best way to get started?" I said, you're a recent listener?" He goes, "Yeah, I just started a couple weeks ago." I said, "Box and Barleycorn. We talk about every show. And this is where I'm going to kind of segue into the Box of Barleycorn here."
Great segue to our sponsors, Box and Barleycorn.
They can get you started because they have the kit ready to go. Buy it, they'll mail it. It's got everything you need except water. And we recommend spring water. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, you can use any water, but don't shortchange yourself here.
Tap water's not great because you have to treat it to get rid of the chlorines and chloramines and stuff like that. Distilled water doesn't have a lot of the minerality that we like.
It doesn't have the minerality we really like. And even the filtered water lacks it. So, yeah. But if you get that and go to any of our recipes or recipe they send you or whatever, and keep in touch with them, you'll make a great first meat. Mm-hmm. And she was that simple. Yeah, Jake and them, they do a good job. They have good work. They know what they're doing. They have the passion, the equipment, and all the supplies you need.
And they are a fantastic sponsor to us. They are keeping us on the air for you guys year after year now to make sure
that
we have the... Not only are they keeping us on the air for the stuff that we've created with them as sponsors, but they are also, if you look back in the Mead House...
archives.
Thank you. They're also keeping all those old episodes on the air that I was doing with JB and Ryan and them ages and ages, hundreds of episodes available to you guys for your reference. Fantastic resource.
And they say, "Well, what, if I'm going to make mead, what's my first step?" The first step is get your equipment and listen to the show. You can go to back episodes. If you want us guys to repeat an episode or go through another previous episode, let us know. We'll do it. We're not trying to be secretive here, we're trying to do more new things.
The fact of the matter is the tips and tricks that we talk about, they come down to basic stuff. Learn sanitation.
I mean, I've always said, no matter what I do and what I've taught, basics are your foundation. If you do your basics, it may not be extraordinary, but it's always solid.
Get your sanitation in the bag. Get your nutrition in the bag. Make a couple good meads. You are 90% of the way there to a fantastic career in mead making. The rest is discovering what you like flavor-wise, discovering good honeys, sourcing honey. That's the fun stuff.
That's the extras. If you do all the basics we tell you about, you've got a solid start, and then just even a minor little itty bit of courage to try something new, you're on your way. Mm-hmm.
Explore a little. Have fun with it. That's the whole point of this podcast, really, is just what can we do that's fun and interesting and new in the realm of meat making? And so embrace. Yes.
So, thank you for all the listeners. Thank you, Box of Barleycorn.
And hey, if they want to pick up that kit, that Box of Barleycorn.
And I actually did tell her when I was there. Mm-hmm. The kit is MHP10.
The discount code is
MHP10. The discount code is MHP10.
Whether you're ordering the kit or just supplies for whatever strikes your fancy this week.
And I even told her, and she goes, "Well, I go up to KC a lot." I said, "Well, stop by and meet him. At worst case, you're going to have a lovely small glass of beer, cider, mead.
Whatever they got it on tap." Mm-hmm. It's a great place. I love going in there.
I hadn't been there in a bit because I've been really busy. I've been really busy. But anyway, last week we talked about
The most like widely available
Meat.
commercial meads
Yeah.
you'd find in your liquor store, any liquor store that carries mead.
Any meat at all.
This week, we ended up with a few different bottles we didn't really get to because six meads turned out to be a
Oh
lot.
God, yeah, that was I don't like talking about that. It was harsh.
And we kind of cheated a little bit towards the end there. We put a local mead in there. They're
Yeah,
a
Pearl.
smaller producer. We like Pearl quite a bit. They're local. They make a damn good mead. We are not strangers to commercially available meads. There's a couple producers out there like Sap House or Apigard
That we'll get them from on reasonable regular basis.
I get subscriptions to those, so those get featured on the show quite a bit. And we thought we'd throw some, a little tasting and praise in a different direction and try some other mead makers that we know of. We've got a couple that I'm not familiar with. We've got one that we ran into at a fair you did a few,
It was Central Missouri. It
yeah,
was
it was a month or two
the
ago.
Ozark Viking Meadery. Yeah, it was about a little more than a month ago, and it was the Central Missouri Renaissance Festival in Kingdom City, and they came to the fair and sold there.
And then we've also got one from Prairie Rose that I picked up from Susan when we went up for
Valkyrie Horn, yeah.
Valkyrie's Horn. And the I guess this is the craft mead tasting
Yeah,
for stuff that we don't usually get to.
this is micrometery. Like microbreweries, this is a micrometery. They're not huge, they're not national, but if you can find them in your area, almost invariably you're going to get a slightly better product. I mean, the best product you're going to get is probably when you get good at what you do from you. I mean, I'll be honest, I have not, there are very few meads I've found commercially that beat what Jeff and I make. And that's not an insult to them. They're doing huge volume and consistent time after time after time. That's hard.
It is hard. I
And we
mean,
tweak every single batch.
people do like to give a lot of crap to the what I want to say, the macro breweries, like Budweiser and Coors and things like that.
And all, yeah, I have that.
But they have multiple production facilities where they have to have exactly the same beer coming out in the can or in the bottle month after month after month. If I go on a business trip to, Seattle, Washington, and I, for whatever reason, decide I want to have a Budweiser there, it better damn well taste like the Budweiser I'm used to in Kansas City.
Or even worse, if you go to Europe or South America or anywhere, it's the same, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's reliable and it's good. We try for, honestly, Jeff and I try for outstanding. We really do. And I'm not going to make bones about that because we want to raise the art.
This, if it's not outstanding, it damn well better be interesting in my
Yeah.
book. It, a lot of the ideas I have are not necessarily, hey, I'm going to take this tried and true process and I'm going to make something fantastic with these strawberries that I picked up. Sometimes they're, hey, I wonder what would happen if I took these strawberries and did this with it. And is it going to end up with fantastic results every time? No. But
No.
that is the design of the process,
Yes.
is that sometimes you have to have something weird and interesting to throw out there. But on a smaller scale, these guys have similar challenges. They need a fairly consistent product. They have to make money at this, so their bottom line has to account for something too.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of challenges even on the small scale that the big commercial guys don't have to deal with. But I
They
think
don't get
the
the bulk discount of supply that the big guys get.
That's true.
They get a discount, sure, because they get enough stuff to get a smaller discount.
Plus, I think there's an extra challenge in there because there's mead snobs like you and I, and we are expecting a higher bar than
Yeah,
Chaucer's.
absolutely.
So,
But before we get into that, one other thing that happened at the Topeka Renaissance Festival last weekend, they had a Viking group there. Awesome guys, had a ball with them, don't get me wrong. One of the guys, James Lionheart, is his Facebook, first two names of his Facebook, identity. Great guy. We had a ball. He actually told his men, keep that gnome from sprouting me, and I will give you mead. And I looked at his men and said, I make mead. And then he was like, oh no. And it was a game all weekend. It was fun. They had in their camp to drink at the end of day, after the fair was closed, the Dansk Mjørk that we had last weekend,
The Viking blood.
the Viking blood. And they had, what was the other one we had? It was the
The copter,
yeah, that one.
the other one from Dance Meadow we
Yeah,
had.
the one that was 21%. 0.8. They had those two there. I said, "Oh, have you opened those yet?" And she goes, "No, we're looking forward to it." I said, "Don't get your hopes too high." And the Viking's wife looked at me and says, "What's wrong with those?" There's nothing wrong with them. They're very strong, either hot made, hot fermented, or fortified mead. And in my own opinion, the Viking blood, which was not cherry, but it's hibiscus and ginger. I thought it was cherry. Most Viking blood is. But this one is hibiscus and ginger. And it tastes a little bit like cough syrup to Jeff and I. She goes, "Oh, that's not good." I said, "Well, if you like it, you like it, and go for it." But the other one, it tried to eat my face from the inside.
It was hot.
It was hot.
You know, here's the thing. I did finish that bottle in the intervening week because I was bored over the weekend, and it was rainy for a lot of the weekend.
It was. It was.
So I was sitting around like
There was
not.
even a tornado alert, so.
Yes, we went to the Sonic Fest here Saturday because we didn't. With the we woke up Saturday morning thinking about going to the Ren Faire and went, "Oh, it's raining. I don't want to drive for an hour and a half in the rain. That sounds like, like a terrible way to spend my Saturday morning." But went to the Slavic Fest, which, by the way, I am the proud winner of the sausage shootout for the 2026.
Oh, this was an eating contest.
Yes, they gave me a kielbasa that was like a solid like inch and a half diameter
Oh,
and
jeez.
longer than my forearm.
Oh, jeez.
I was walking out to the competition table, holding it in two hands, raising it above my head, like,
A stick.
mugging it for
Oh, okay, yeah.
the audience. And Irma Gerd,
Was it a speed contest or a volume contest?
it's a speed contest.
Okay. Well,
I
congratulations. I hope you didn't hurt yourself too bad.
my burps for the rest of the night tasted like kielbasa, and that was not pleasant, but it is what it is. Anyway, we got home from Slavic Fest.
Yeah.
We literally took two steps in the door and the sirens went off.
Woo.
I was like, "All right, grab the dogs, gotta get down to the basement." And we were in the basement for a solid 45 minutes because they just kept new warning, new warning. It was about to expire, new warning. We had tornadoes to the north and south of us that
Yep.
night. Real cool.
But
Welcome to
well, the
the
Midwest,
Midwest.
So the people here in the Midwest for the World Cup, they're getting the full Midwest
They really
experience.
are.
Now, back to what we're doing. But he said, he goes, "Well, is this that's just how the hibiscus and ginger is going to taste, right?" No,
No.
absolutely not. I will make you next year. I'm going to bring to them hibiscus ginger mead that we can make.
There we go.
And because your hibiscus game is solid,
Thank you.
and we can make them a good.
And it has been a minute since I did a good hibiscus mead.
Yeah.
And my wife loves a good hibiscus mead, so I will jump into that with both feet.
Yeah. But I'm going to take them one to show them that this is a well-made mead. So I threw out a gauntlet. He goes, "I want to see this happen." He's a Viking king. He's the Jarl of the Vikings. I called him Mr. Jarl because it was funny. And there you go. Well, James, now you know. I put on the air. Now, back to what we're doing. Micrometeries. We've got a couple from a place called Sky River. We have a blackberry and a traditional. And grabbing the wrong bottle from the very start, I grabbed the blackberry first. I should have done the traditional first, but I didn't. But
Here's what
these are our meads of the day, because again, we're doing more than one mead, because I don't know why we do this to ourselves.
I'm just looking up Sky River here. They bill themselves as Washington State's oldest craft meadery. So
Nice.
they are they're out in the Washington State, like our friends Avangard. And let's take a look at this mead. We've got
Pretty mead.
yeah, it's kind of a, I don't want to say orange, I don't want to say red. It's kind of a peachy color. Looks to be a little bit effervescent. I'm not sure if that's intentional or if that's just because it was stuck in a
Hot car over the weekend.
Right. So
That's my fault, guys.
our
Now, we're also going to take that into consideration of what we say about this because this heat can affect.
could be suboptimal drinking conditions after sitting in a hot car all weekend. Yeah.
Got a little bite on the nose.
Yeah, there's a little bit of hop, a little bit of honey.
It says wine made from 90% honey and 10% blackberries.
Okay, so they might be doing a similar kind of thing as Pearl was doing last week.
Yeah. Because mine is a little bit higher in blackberry, what I do, but not, maybe 18, 22% blackberry.
The blackberry flavor is lighter than I like in a blackberry mead.
Agreed.
It could be a little higher, but it's only 10% blackberry, so.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I've known people that put in a 5 gallon container for making mead, they put 8 ounces of blackberry syrup. And I'm sitting there, that's good for color, but I don't know if you're going to taste anything.
By the same token, I know people that will do like a no water blackberry mead and
Yeah.
just use the fruit juice from the blackberries and
Yeah.
call it good.
I'd rather that be the second way than the first on that one, to be honest. That's just me, though.
Flavor bomb wise, here's the thing. If I'm going to make a mead, I also kind of want to taste honey, and I worry that that much blackberry might not leave a lot of honey flavor. I can go either way there, you know?
Now, I'm going to say the heat kind of affected this.
It's possible.
It's got a slightly acrid on back of the palate, top of the mouth feel for me.
And it's. This might be suboptimal,
Yeah. Now, that said,
There is a little bit, it's slight, but there is a little bit of like that hot alcohol taste too. And that could be the same reason we saw some bubbles when it was first poured. This is not, it's not even like petulant.
no, it's just very little.
There was probably some off-gassing that occurred because of the heat. And we saw a little stress on the cork too. So that all tracks.
It all tracks. But that being said, though, it's drinkable.
Yes, it's
It's
very.
not unpleasant at all.
It's light, it's very nice. The fruity flavor could be more, but I have a feeling if we had gotten a bottle right from the store, we would have the same feeling about the fruity flavor
Yeah.
compared to the, well, quantity wise, ratio wise,
Ratio wise.
meat flavor to fruit flavor. I think the blackberry could be stronger,
Yeah, I
in
agree.
my opinion.
I've said it before, I'll say it. Blackberry is my straightforward favorite fruit. And there are so many fruits I like too. That's not a huge, not, I'm not going like, oh my gosh, it's 50 yards better. No, it's just my favorite. apples are not that far off, to be honest, and
Right.
that's one of my, go-tos.
I mean, apples are such a wonderful thing just because they have so many different varieties available, and like just the eaten apples are great. And then
Yeah.
you go throw in the cider apples too, and like, man, what a wonderful thing this fruit has done for us.
Yeah. But I would want more blackberry, more fruit in my wine, in my mead. That's me. I also, when I'm making a 7 gallon batch of my blackberry Merlot mead, a gallon of it is blackberry syrup.
Yeah. And let's be real, the mix here, the mead that I'm getting is not unpleasant at all.
No, it's not. It's
I'm
still good.
I think just I'm kind of used to, if you're gonna put fruit in a mead, it's gonna be a little bit of a fruit bomb. So
At least a fruit forward, if not bomb, a fruit forward.
I think that's a safer way to say it, yes.
But yeah, this is primarily why I make melomels, because I like fruit. And second close things I like spiced. So it's not neither here nor there. I like more than just honey flavor. If
No,
you
I
can.
like to, when it comes to my recipes, I like to think in terms of primary, secondary, and tertiary or ancillary. And, one of the two is going to be honey, obviously,
Yeah.
especially if I've got a cool variety I get to play with. But those tertiaries and ancillaries, if you've got a cool fruit, you can put a cool spice with it. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
That's
even
lovely.
better. But if you give me just a good traditional, I'm happy as a clam. Don't get me wrong. However, if you give me a fruited, spiced, interesting mead, you've got my undivided attention. Now, like I said, the second one is the Sky River traditional honey wine. They call it honey wine, not mead, but tomatoes, tomatoes.
So in the bottle, this looks a medium amber. In the glass, it's a little lighter. We're getting the same kind of little bubbliness to it that we got in the blackberry. Again, hot car. We'll
Hot car.
give it a pass there.
I mean, I got this just before I went to Topeka, and in the mad rush and everything done and packing, I took the other car, and this car just stayed where it was. So,
Happens like that. But yeah, no, I think this is medium to light amber. It's definitely got a honey character to it.
Not a whole lot of smell to me. I am not getting hardly any.
Try to agitate it a little. Yeah, I've got a little honey, a little something something that might be just the heat. But it overall the aroma is fairly low in general.
Okay. It was the heat because this has exact same bite in the back on the palate up back of
Yeah.
the tongue as the other one did.
This is a very light meat, though.
It's a very light, and it's still quite good.
It has, and I think it is part of the heat, but it has an almost like slightly rubbery aftertaste that I'm pretty sure is just heat spoilage or something like that.
I am sorry I spoiled your mead, Sky River. I truly am. I will make amends by getting new bottles and taste them properly. But even as they are, they're not bad.
Yeah, I like this quite a bit. This kind of reminds me of the Oliver. It's a lighter, easygoing. Let's see if they give us any information on the bottle here as far as ancient drink of kings and poets. Mead is a sacred drink of gods and men, created from honey, believed to be descended from heaven's is dew, gathered by bees, once thought to bestow harmony, but blah 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 blah.
I'm actually 100% behind comment of it's came from heaven.
Enjoy warmth and delicacy of honey, compliment. To complement vibrant Indian curries or the heat of Latin-inspired dishes.
That's actually a good idea.
I could see that. A light meat like this would go real nice with some curry. And in fact, I think I have some leftover curry sauce and naan from the weekend. Maybe we'll try that with some of this as we're sobering up for the episode.
Yeah, let's throw up with more alcohol. What a great idea. I like that.
What's the
Care of the
percentage on
dog.
this guy? It's 10.5. So this is not far off from our buddies over like Oliver or
Oh, yeah.
Chaucer's,
And the blackberry is actually 12.
a little bit more respectable, but it's not that we, judge on alcohol by volume.
No, we
It's
don't, We judge on if it's good. And this is not bad. This is pretty good.
qualitatively, yeah, I would drink more of this. I would, if I saw this on a shelf and was looking for a mead, I would buy this, yeah. I'm curious to try this without the heat
Yeah, me
effect
too.
on it. So,
Another episode. Anyway,
yeah, let's drink some mead and go to the liquor store and buy more mead. That sounds like a great idea.
yeah, isn't that like Robin Hood robbing the rich to get pick to give to the poor and giving the poor rich and the rich poor and starting all over?
Man, if it were Friday, we could get alcohol samples at the liquor store and make this an even worse idea.
Okay, I'm game. Let's do this.
Just to hang out for a few more days, man.
Oh, I'm all in for that. All in for that. So, number three, we have the
This is an orange blossom mead from Ozark Viking Meadery. This is the gent we met at Central Missouri Fair, and we already tried his. Was it a double blossom? It was a like a raspberry and blueberry honey a few episodes back. Oh, I need to finish my glass because
Finish
I have
glass
a
and get us rinsed. Now,
slacking on my duties here.
alcohol is involved. Ozark Viking Meadery. This is a 15% alcohol mead. They put their governmental warning right on the front of the bottle, which is really unusual. Most of them put it on the back label.
Well, he doesn't have a back label,
That's true.
and it is a mandated thing. I think if you get into the ATF business, there are all kinds of rules you have to follow as far as a commercial producer. One of those is you have to have some of that language. Oh, that's plenty.
I'll fall and sort of come at you.
All right. Well,
No, that was a heavy pour. That was a heavy pour.
so this is an orange blossom mead. This is orange blossom honey, and not to give this guy grief, but he liked to claim when I was talking to him that all of his honeys were local honeys, but there ain't no orange blossom honey in Missouri. I'm pretty sure there's no raspberry or
Blueberry.
blueberry honeys in Missouri either, but I could be wrong in that regard. Oranges don't grow around here well,
At all.
not without a greenhouse and some help.
Yeah, but
But color-wise, this is a light to medium straw. This is really light, actually.
this is lighter than anything we've had so far, to be honest. Short of maybe the Oliver.
Yeah, the Oliver could be, this is maybe in the same ballpark as the Oliver. And it's Oliver was an orange blossom. This is an orange blossom. So maybe we're,
Very light straw here.
yeah. Not a lot on the aroma.
No, I'm trying to edge it here. Now it's very, I mean, this is, in my opinion, slightly more aroma than the Sky River we just had,
Yep. But
but really light.
if you were to juice a an orange and then smell your hand. Uh-oh.
No, that's not an uh-oh. I mean, I took a drink while Jeff was talking, and I am rather shocked by the amount of orange flavor I'm getting out of this.
You're right. This is
I didn't think there'd be this much orange in this cup, in this glass in my
this
hand.
is and this is just orange blossom honey,
Yeah, this is
not
not an orange meat.
right.
Orange blossom honey, yeast, water are the ingredients. And it's 15% alcohol, like I said, and there's a lot of orange flavor in there. I mean, shocking amount of orange flavor in there.
This is not an easy drinker like the Oliver. This has more body to it.
This has a lot more complexity.
I think this is a lot more thoroughly back sweetened
Yeah.
with the orange blossom honey, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
No,
This
this is
is
a
a
really
this
good
is
thing.
a
This
kind
is. I will put that up against any of the Oppengard or which other
Sapphire.
Saphouse. This is good.
This is pretty solid. I mean, I liked this guy's stuff fairly well, and
Now, despite the fact we don't agree that you have orange blossom honey from Missouri, this is a good orange blossom honey mead.
I'm kind of curious where he sourced this from, the honey, I mean, because clearly the guy is doing something right.
Yeah.
He's getting a ton of the orange blossom flavor. The ferment tastes clean. There's no real off flavors or anything to it. I
Very
mean,
smooth. Sir, I do not remember your name. Kudos. This is a good mead.
yeah, this is out of Salem, Missouri, so good to know he's around.
Yeah.
Wishing him luck,
I'll
because
go back there and get more of his stuff for that, just because of this glass right here.
yeah, if I see him at another fair, I will definitely stop by and purchase a bottle or two.
And I'll give him kudos I'm giving right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
That's a good mead.
this is very, very solid. I'm a little sad that we basically have to leave the other half of this bottle for your wife to enjoy too.
Yeah. You don't have to leave half of it. We can leave some of it. You don't have to leave half of it.
We already had strong pours. We should moderate, especially as we get into this.
You know, there are worse people like that. One of them's responsible. As we finish off this mead here, I'm going to talk about the next mead we're looking at, the Prairie Rose Meadery. This is from Fargo, North Dakota. It's a 12.5%.
Yeah, this is made by Susan Root, and I've gotten to judge a few times with Susan. Susan is a treat to judge with.
Oh, she's a
She's
wonderful lady. I got a chance to meet her there, and she is just a joy to be around.
like I really enjoy just finding her at bottle tastings or the little like get-togethers and things like that. And random conversations we've had adjacent to mead making have been like one of my favorite parts of some of my contest experiences.
And
Because
invariably, when I talk to her, she says, "Oh, I tried to do this thing and it didn't turn out anything like I wanted to. It was just a horrible failure." And I'm drinking the actual thing she's talking about, saying, "I think you need to redefine what failure is. This isn't, it may not got what you want, but this is not bad."
She has pulled off some really incredible stuff, like mint in mead. It
That's telling.
is so tough. But in I can't remember if it was the one of the Iron Bees or one of the first Valkyrie's Horns, she had a mead she made with chocolate mint out of her own garden, and it was one of the
I
best,
tried that one. She brought that one.
one of the best goddamn mint meads I've ever had.
Yeah,
Because
that
the
was
mint was
really good.
there, it was pronounced, but it was not overpowering. And mint
It
it's one
is
of
so
those
easy to
things.
overpower it.
Yes, a little goes such a long way.
But the chocolate of the chocolate mint was still present. It was an amazing bottle of mead.
And I forget what she had with the chocolate in the chocolate mint. It might have been like cacao nibs or something like that to kind of buttress that. But
It was good. I
yeah.
mean, we'd have to ask her for details, and she is very giving. She would give us details. But anyway, so the next one's the Prairie Rose Meadery, and this one's called Prairie Moon. It's boysenberry mead.
I am very curious because I don't know if I've had boysenberry as a fruit. I think I've only had boysenberry like jam or the preserves.
Same here. I've never had a boysenberry alcohol ever, or even a boysenberry berry. Fruit juice. I mean, I have not had this. But this mead is a 12.5%. I think I've gone over that before, but I did. And Susan makes a pretty label, to be honest. It's a very pretty label.
I like her label styles. She doesn't have
like Tracy. Tracy makes phenomenal labels.
Well, and the labels don't vary a lot from label to label, but they accomplish a lot. There's just a pretty picture. There's a little bit of change in text on the bottom for the variety, but for what it is, it looks good.
Yeah. And labeling means nothing to taste the mead,
Right.
but you can say the care you put into a label for a microbrew or a homebrew mead, it says a lot about your confidence in your mead, in my opinion.
And the back label is specific to the variety here. There's just honey consumed can surround the senses with the sense of comfort, joy, and relaxation like no other beverage on the market. This is a fine handcrafted mead from North Dakota, clover honey, boysenberries, and filtered water.
So clover honey mead and boysenberry. Now the color is brownish.
I would call this like, is this dark amber? Is this light tan or medium tan?
I'd call medium tan, or I call it light tan. I mean, can I see a hazy silhouette of things behind it? Yeah. However, comma, it's looking through the side of the glass, I'm not seeing a lot of any kind of detail behind it. So it's kind of dark mead.
There's a little fruitiness, a little, I don't know if this is a little oxidized as well.
No, I don't know about Oxford.
It's almost a raisiny kind of smell.
Yeah, that okay, thank you, because I could not put my name on my finger on the name of it what I'm smelling. It does smell raisiny. Oh my gosh, pardon me. And now I've got the hiccups. This is gonna be a fun round for this one. Okay, but I'm okay, I don't know, it's probably the boysenberry, but I'm not getting a fruit smell. But I don't know what boysenberry smells like, to be blunt, if
If
that's it.
I agitate it a little bit more, I get a little bit more of those oxidized flavors or scents, I guess. But yeah, it's a little
A
oxidized.
little oxidized, yeah, I agree.
It almost has a dry kind of a porty character to it. It's not.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay, that's one. It hit the palate hard. It's a tongue kind of hard. That was a port. It comes out like a port.
It's the oxidized character port. It's classically oxidized.
This may be a little bit oxidized. I may have to make my own boysenberry mead to see if I like it.
Yeah, this might not be my favorite that Susan has made, but it's still a pretty good
It's,
mead,
I mean, I'll if
all
this is offered,
things
I'll
considered.
completely drink it. And this glass will not survive the encounter of the
No.
mead. It's not my favorite. I'm sorry, Susan. I don't want to be rude, but the mint was far superior. Chocolate mint was far superior.
I don't remember what we've already tasted from her, but we came back with five bottles from hers, and we've already drank two of them,
Two
so.
or three of them, anyway. But we have like a, I think we have a berry bomb and a
Vanilla cinnamon, I
vanilla
think, is the other
cinnamon
one
left, at
left.
least. I don't know if I have any others.
So last year, this was kindly sent to me by Carlos Herrera over at Texas Longhouse Mead.
Yes, it's honey grape wine. So that would be a,
That would be a pie mint. And
yeah.
this is a little bit cheating because here's the thing. I've already tasted this one. Right before Valkyrie's Horn, we did an episode where we were talking about pie mints.
Yeah.
Carlos is a regular listener.
Yeah.
Solid dude. He shot me a message. Hey, I got a couple of pie mints on in bottles. Would love to send them to you and let you guys try them. And so he sent me the red wine pie mint that we tried a while back.
Yeah.
I think right after Valkyrie's
Yeah, I
Horn.
remember that. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And then I went to Valkyrie's Horn and I judged commercial pie mints. And it
Well,
turns
there's no
out.
irony there at all, is there?
It turns out Sis Vindru, the last one we're throwing back here, I rated a 41 out of 50.
You rate it really well.
Pretty goddamn good. That was a really solid competition. That was in, I think, six flights. I rated three of them above 40.
That's,
That almost never
yeah,
happens.
that's amazing. Out of 50, that's
Like
wow.
to get a 40 from me is like you are doing something stellar. And it was such a strong competition.
If Jeff ever gives a 50, I'll know he gave a 50 because he passed out from joy.
There may come a day when I say there is nothing terrible or nothing further I can say that is other than straight, this has my full and undivided joy and attention. At that point, I may give a 50. I think the highest I've ever given is like a 43 or 44.
This is a 41.
Nice.
I can smell the honey.
And a little bit of the that white grape kind of white wine.
Okay, I smell the wine. I couldn't identify it as white grape till you said it. But yeah, I get it.
And color-wise, but I don't think we talked about color on
We
this
did
one.
not.
This is a light amber to a dark straw kind of color, I
Yeah.
would say. It's a golden hue.
It's a gold. Yeah, it's like to be the most polite I can be, it's like the end of a golden sunset. It's about as close I can get to that color scheme.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I watch sunset a lot, so it means something to me.
Fair enough.
I think I see the 41.
Yeah. It's a little dry.
A little dry.
It's got an acid bite to it from the wine, for sure.
And, but because I don't like dry, I wouldn't give it as high a mark as you did. But you like dry.
Right.
That's cool.
It's
But that's a good meat.
it has a nice drinkable body where it is both. It has some substance to it, both from the alcohol. I mean, I can take a sip, breathe out. You can smell the alcohol in this.
Yeah, I can.
But it has enough body to really kind of just let that ride while being still pretty easygoing and drinkable, all things considered.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad we took this little tour down the micrometery thing because, okay, I'll be honest, for the reservation of Oliver itself, taking it out of this equation, I would go to a micrometery way before I'd go to a national metering.
Right. And I think this is the necessary conversation to have is that, hey, we found these other meaderies. Some of these are very random. We found one at a fair. We had one sent to us by Carlos over in Texas Longhouse. And like I know I've tried a couple of his things at Valk before.
Yeah, Pearl's local.
Pearl's local, Susan. We can't say enough good things about Susan.
Yeah, she's an awesome lady. She's
We talk a
absolutely great.
lot about the guys that I'm subscribed to for my monthly thing because they're available. They're
Yeah.
right there. But
But they're
there
not
are
major meteries. They're
no, but there are so many good meaderies all over the country, and like the
Look around your area, guys. You can find a good meter just because you have to be in the area.
yeah, I mean, take a 2-hour trip on any given Saturday or Sunday or whatever day you've got free. Okay.
Wildwood is good meat. And actually, I talked to again back at the Peak of Fair. I talked to a guy. I like Wildwood better. I like Pearl. It's taste. It's
Fair.
all good. You're not insulting me by saying you like the mead. No, stop. You like the mead.
I mean, I think I like Pirtle more than I like Wildwood, but that's.
That's like saying I like pulled pork rather like brisket for barbecue. It's a matter of taste.
Yeah, no, it's just what your preference lies. And, the hell, if you tried one or two from Pirtle and one or two from Wildwood, and they were the wrong one or two, your preference might be way different than the broad spectrum of both
Yeah.
at the end of the day. So
We have the advantage. We've had bad meads and we've had good meads. And a bad mead will not start keep us from trying other meads because we're not going to be afraid of having a bad mead.
yeah, if you're into meads, it is worth your time to look up mead makers within, a 1 or 2 hour, just make a weekend road trip of it. Those are so much fun. We if you remember back in the COVID era, so to
Yes.
speak, where everyone was locked down. I think I thrived a little bit better than most in the COVID era because I am an introvert through and through. And I like an excuse to just stay home and do my own thing, mind my own business. But I know a lot of people were suffering and we were feeling a little cabin feverish towards fall there
I will
in
tell you, I
2020.
was confined. I'm an extrovert. I'm an extreme extrovert. You could tell everybody how bad I am at that.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know that you've ever met a stranger in your entire life.
I'll let you know if I ever find one. I met some strange people, but not a stranger.
You've met some stranger than others, but
Yes.
no strangers to you.
Not to me, but I was suffering a little bit during that time period, and I was still isolated. But this is a 2-hour road trip. A lot of meaderies, wineries, things like that have bed and breakfast. You can make a weekend of it.
Yeah, you can have a
And
nice
it's
time. I know I cut a little bit of our Weston infomercial in the last episode, but there are places all over like that. When we were in the COVID lockdown phase, I think it was early 2021, we took our kiddo to Springfield, Missouri to go see Fantastic Caverns And then we checked out the aquarium they put in the Bass Pro there, both of which stellar. It was a great little weekend, and it was just a day trip.
And I don't know of a single state that doesn't have some really cool thing to go to.
Right.
Now, Kansas, I will grant you, is kind of light on the subject because we're largely farmland.
Kansas, I feel like, is a little bit weird in that there's a lot of farmland. There's the I-70 corridor, there's the 35 corridor, and if you're leaving anywhere off of that, there's not as much.
But
Even on those corridors, there's not much.
yeah, but there is still things to go see,
Yeah.
and there's still wildwood, there's still Pearl, there's still Pearl knows Missouri. I'm not breaking
Right, but
straw here, but there's things to do, man. And a day trip to a winery or a meadery, would be my first choice, but winery is not bad, can make for a fantastic trip.
Most of the local wineries I've been to, they also like they'll sell snacks or have little events and things like that. It's worth checking out their website just to see if there's something you want to hit up. There is a winery not far from Weston, like right off the interstate as you're heading there, and they were doing a bottle library one year. We scored a bottle of port made from Norton grapes, which are a local, like a native to the United States grape variety, as opposed to the stuff they have to import from Europe somewhere. And I just found that as I was cleaning out my garage the other day. Bottled in 2005.
That could be either extraordinary or kind of disappointing.
The one we tasted at their bottle share in this must have been 2016, 2017 was stellar all by itself. Has it gotten better or worse since then? I don't know. But I know we need like a decadent double chocolate kind of layer cake to eat with it because it was thick and really. No, look up the wineries and meaderies near you guys and check out what kind of events they've got going on. You can have a really great little weekend trip really easily this way. And you're supporting local businesses that, frankly, they need your support.
Yeah, and there's no reason not to support them because they make better stuff. Almost invariably, they make better stuff. Just, take it. If they got taste in them, take some taste. I would be hard pressed to say you will not find something you like.
And realistically, granted, I am a little bit of an edge case here because I come in saying, oh yeah, no, I'm Jeff from the Mead House, but there has not been a single meadery I've been to where they have not been like eagerly interested to discuss the craft
Yeah.
with a mead maker,
It's like being a mason or a chef. It's not a
You
matter of getting them to talk, it's getting them to shut up.
the difference is volume, and that's about it.
Yeah, it
They
really is.
are happy to talk about like, hey, what kind of yeast do you use? Do you guys do temperature control, or do you just kind of let it go? Do you have a special way you do this or that? What's your, do you have a bottling line? Is it automated or is it all by hand? There are so many things you can talk about, and they are generally happy to disclose.
Because we love what we do, and we love to share what we do. Therefore, ask questions, find out. Guys, this has been a reasonably short episode for us. It's not a horribly long one.
I mean, we're getting in there, so, but I think we are in the hey, we should probably wrap this up,
We
so.
do. Ne next time we're going to try. We thought about putting this in at the end of this one, but now that we've talked about this long enough, I think we're going to talk about what our plans were for this summer,
Right.
because kvike season is coming because the hot mead making is time.
It's time to get into that hot mess.
Hot, yeah, really hot mess. The last time I had a potential hot mess was my banana mead. I was so scared I was going to have to clean my ceiling.
I've never made a banana mead because I've seen so many photos of ceilings in the banana process.
I put a
Like,
7-pound kettlebell on top of my bucket to give me an edge, and it counted.
I think at one point you told me the it was still fighting that 7 pounds.
It was still bowed up, but at 7 pounds on top, I kept trying to hold it down. I made it. That's all I can say. I win.
I got some 20-pound dumbbells from when I was younger and had ambitions of being a muscle guy, but
Yeah, keep it in hand, man, because I believe, kid you not, banana mead is scary. It starts up so fast. Usually, when we ferment, usually takes like, 12 to 36 hours. 1 hour, less than an hour.
Must be that radioactive potassium, yeah.
It must be, man, because that you said aha, and it was gone to town. 9 days of bubbles, nonstop.
Jeebus. Jeebus, jeebus, jeebus.
All right,
Anyway, Chris,
guys.
raise your glass.
Yeah.
Here's the sound.
Happy meeting, guys.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.